John chapter 20, verse 21. I've had a bit of an uncomfortable week. As a teacher, primarily that's what I am, that's my gift from God, I really like to have things nailed down and studied out and thoroughly noted out. And some people say, well, that's your hang-up. No, that's my gift. No, let me give you a little secret here. If you think you're called to be a teacher, you're first called to be a studier. Amen? Hallelujah. But God prevented me this week from doing that. And at first I thought it was me, I thought it was the devil. Then I had a serious talk with God because it was getting pretty close to Sunday. And he says, don't worry about it. So just talk from your heart. Well, okay, we're going to try that today. So this, depending on the length of my notes is usually how I judge how long the sermon is going to be. Today we got this. Doesn't really mean me much because I'm just talking from my heart. Hallelujah. We have been speaking for a couple of weeks now, a couple of months, looking at the Bible and trying to find a New Testament definition of church. Someone say church. Well, I think we've come to a knowledgeable conclusion that the church is a multifaceted word. I want you to turn to the person next to you. Just look at them. Don't say a word. You don't have to. Pretend you like them. Look at them. Smile. You just looked at the church. When you look around the whole body, whether there be 10 people or 10,000, that's the church. In many cases, I got to be careful I put this, when you look at organizations, it can be another facet of the church. The church is not a building. Church is not a style. Church is not a preference of music. Church, according to Scripture, is the ecclesia, the called out ones. So whether you're an individual, whether you're sitting in a church, whether you're part of a denomination, you could be, if you're called out by God, the church. So we said, okay, we've kind of misdefined the church through all these years. And since Jesus was here, we look around, there's a church here, a church there, a church there, a church everywhere. Everywhere, church, church. And we try to figure out, you have to be careful, I work with kids during the week, I get that thing going. Hallelujah. I was in someone's home the other day, and I sat down. I got one child in the home, and within 5 minutes, I was surrounded by all the kids, the neighborhood kids, and the woman walks in and says, George, your problem is you're a magnet. I said, yeah, pretty much, it's the grandpa thing going on. Hallelujah. But I get that kiddie thing going on, so if I start talking to you like children, I'm sorry. Praise God. We've been looking through the Scripture. What did Jesus say the church should be? What should it do? And how should it do it? John chapter 20, verse 21, reading from the King James Version. Jesus is getting ready to leave. Jesus is getting ready to go on. He's getting ready to leave behind a powerful, wonder-working, God-loving, devil-destroying church. And he looks at him and he says something important to him. And I don't have this on the screen, so you'll have to do this. We're going to kick it old style today. Have to look at your own Bible. He said, then Jesus said to him, the writer of John says, Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. If you were blessed enough to went to school in the days when they actually taught history, I'll just let you think about that, you might have run across a character by the name of Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry was a patriot, lived in Virginia. God, don't worry about that. Put the praying hands back up there. Looks better. Hallelujah. If you're looking at the screen, that's a wonderful, if you want to study, I always forget, BibleSearch.com? BibleGateway.com. But anyway, you would have come across this character as I did in the junior high through a history book. He wasn't alive. By the name of Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry lived in the 1700s. He lived during that little skirmish we had with the folks across the pond called the Revolution. He lived in Virginia, and he was a member of the House of Burgess. Not that that means anything to you. But in March of 1775, he got up and he gave a speech that most of us remember at least a piece of. It was a speech against the Stamp Act, against unfair taxation. It could have been going on today, come to think of it. Watching political things going on. But he stood up and the whole revolution thing was churning. The states, there was no federal back then. There was no bringing together. They were individual states. But there was a certain continuity. He said, we've had enough of this. And sometimes, I got to tell you the truth, in Bible things, you got to just get fed up with things. You guys, I've had enough of this, before he can change it. Well, Patrick Henry got up in the House of Burgesses, which was the governing body of Virginia, and he made a speech, and he ended his speech. If you see it on screen, it's just a little couple sentences. But this stuck with me since I was in junior high school. Gentlemen, my cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. And says a couple more things, and then at the end, this is the private part you remember, he says, as for me, give me liberty or give me death. I want to talk about the peace part of that thing today. Jesus looked at the people and said, I'm giving you peace. Now, I told you, he's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to go to the Father. He already told him, I'm setting you forth like sheep amongst wolves. He told him, you're going to have all kinds of problems. He could have given them anything in the world. He chose to bless them with a thing called peace. Hallelujah. I find that interesting. I want you to understand today that right now you are looking, if you're looking at me, at probably the most blessed man in the world. I really think of myself that way. God has given me opportunities, sent me places to do things that I never would have dreamed of. When I was a boy growing up in Middletown, New York, there's no way I would have thought I'd end up doing the things, speaking to the people, going to the places that God has enabled me to go to. Not only was the traveling, which I like, important, but the most important thing is the hundreds and even thousands and dozens of thousands of people I've been able to speak to. To be able to preach in big churches in Connecticut and little churches out in gypsy villages in Central or Eastern Europe, here in town, and be able to go into nursing homes and places where no one else would go. I had someone ask me one time why I went to places like that. I said, because the big names won't go there. We spent a lot of time, you guys were with me in the beginning, did a lot of time going into, we'd have a handful of people in wheelchairs. But you know, during that time, people not only heard the truth, people were born again. And I know, I'm so blessed, because someday I will walk into the heavens and that person will no longer be in a wheelchair and they're going to meet me and say hello. How do I know that? Because I got people who do it now in the natural. We haven't got to heaven yet. I've been so blessed to be able to talk to people, but more importantly than the preaching, has been the one-on-one. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. I'm just so blessed. If God didn't bless me anymore from this day to the day I die, I got enough. Thank you, Jesus. I say that not to brag, but to say that over the years, stretching over 30 years now, there's a common denominator, whether you be in Central America, whether you be in Canada, whether you be in Eastern Europe, it really doesn't matter whether you're talking to three people in a nursing home or 2,000 people in Connecticut. There's a connecting line. And is this word that Patrick Henry cried out, and is this word that Jesus gave his people, the thing called peace? People, maybe more now than then, but at least as much now as then, are looking for a thing called peace. One of the problems, I think, is that we're not sure what that means. Now, I'll identify myself as just being an old codger, because I back in the 60s, we all marched for peace. Not personally, but my generation burnt down Kent State University. We were the ones. My generation, we stood out in front of the White House dressed as skeletons and screaming peace, peace in Vietnam. And I've watched over the years, we have Vietnam. Now today we have Iraq and Afghanistan and now Libya, the non-war. If we're looking for that kind of peace, where there's no conflict, we're going to be disappointed. So I want to help you understand today that the presence of peace is not the absence of conflict. There's always going to be conflict. Jesus said there's wars and rumors of wars. Matter of fact, when he talked about end times, which some people think we're in, I'm not sure, I think we are. He said there's going to be more and more and more stories of war. I mean, you can't turn on, I don't care if you're a Fox fanatic or a CNN follower, I don't care what you watch or listen to. You just can't turn that thing on anymore, that one-eyed devil in your corner of your room. You can't turn that thing on without seeing war or threats of it. Someone is shooting somebody, someone's sending a rocket someplace, someone's got a drone flying overhead. It's the world we live in. Having that kind of peace where there's no conflicts or wars, probably not going to happen. I'm not trying to be negative, but chances are, because Jesus said it wouldn't happen, chances are it won't. But there's a peace that men are looking for, women are looking for, and children are looking for. And I preached this a couple of months ago, so I'm not going to go into too much depth. There's a peace that says I can have strength in the midst of all that's going on. That's a form of peace the apostle called it passes understanding. I believe in my heart when Jesus told his people, I'm leaving here, peace be unto you. The word peace, shalom, the word peace, shalom means to be peaceful and content in your entire being. It's not just a thought, it's not just a feeling, it's everything. Hallelujah. I believe wholeheartedly that the church, whatever name, denomination, affiliation you want to put on it, of all the things we should be able to have and or experience and or pass on as a church member, it's a thing called peace. You may or may not remember a man by the name of Damon Shakarian. I think I said that right. Damon Shakarian was the man who started the Full Gospel Businessmen Ministries or Association, whatever he called it. He since went home to be with the Lord, but he wrote a book. I think everyone should read it, if nothing else, just for the title. He says, Christians, the happiest people on earth. Well, I don't know if we are, but we should be. Jesus wants us to have peace in the midst of whatever we face. Does that sound so far-fetched? That God has called his people, presented himself to his people, empowered his people, that no matter where Dow Jones goes, and I don't know who the heck Dow Jones even is, I don't know where they got them names from. It sounds like a little bit like Smith and Wesson or something. Smith and Jones. Whatever, I turned it on the other day, and this guy, I won't mention his name, but his initials are Neil Cavuto. He was kind of, oh my God, we've 275 points down. That don't mean much to me. Now, it does. I know some people got money invested in the stock market. But when we see and hear that, we should not have that panic that so many people experience. You may have not recognized that we are in a deep financial difficulties in this here United States. Hallelujah. And if what wasn't bad enough, on another business channel, I know I shouldn't watch this stuff. I'm being delivered from it little by little. Oh God, I shouldn't watch it. They're worried about what's happening in Greece because that's going to affect us. You know, whatever happens in Greece, and I pray for that nation. Whatever happens to the euro, whatever happens to the dollar, our faith is not meant to be in that world system. Now, can we pray it away? I don't know. I don't think you're wasting your time if you're praying for world peace. But I think we should not be disheartened. I don't think we should be frustrated when we pray and nations fall anyway. Our faith is not meant to be in the United Nations. It's not meant to be in the United States. Our faith needs to be in Jesus Christ. I believe what... How you doing, James? I believe that what the apostle is talking about here, Jesus, the apostle of our faith, is talking about here, is having a faith, having a... You can be seated, James. Having a faith in God that says no matter what's going on, yeah, it's affecting my wallet. It's affecting my ability to pay my mortgage. Yes, it is. But ultimately, my faith has got to be in God himself. Hallelujah. You may have noticed at the beginning of the service that my great-grandbaby that was crawling up my arms there. You know, when she's crawling up in my arms or her mama's, and she got that big old hug thing going on, just melts my heart. But I can tell by looking at her face at that moment, she don't have a care in the world. Because someone bigger, she don't know it yet, she thinks that she's smarter, but someone smarter than her. I'm slower, but smarter than her. Hallelujah. Has got their arms wrapped around her. And no matter what happens, it's going to be okay because great-grandpa's got her. You know, that's the kind of simplicity. I was talking to a sister this morning about the simplicity of the gospel. It is possible. I started to ask us a question. I'm going to make this a statement. It is possible to have the kind of peace in the midst of what's going on and what's about to go on. And I'm not a prophet to tell you that, but I'm a preacher who knows harder times are coming. It is possible to have a peace that even though the world around me is crumbling, exploding, drowning. Did you hear that Japan had another tsunami? 6.7 on the Richter scale. It was on my favorite Fox News thing there. And you sit there and you say, my God, Lord, how much more can people take? Well, that's not my judgment call, but even in the midst of the central part of the United States, it looks like there's a third ocean. It's underwater. There's so much going on. And yet in that, there's a peace that surpasses human understanding. That's the peace that Jesus is talking about. This kind of peace doesn't make sense. You know, when we talk to people, I'm noticing something. When I talk to my clientele, when I talk to teachers, when I talk to other clinicians and doctors, they're quizzical about my response to things. When I lay aside my sarcasm, I'm working on that too. I know you're praying for me. It's okay. But there's a certain calmness. I mean, and they look at you suspiciously. Hallelujah. I think that's why some agencies drug test. I'm not sure. It's been 35 years since I've done that. But there's a certain peace. There's a certain tranquility. And it only comes when I've got my heart and mind on God Himself. You see, here's a little secret you may not have figured out yet. If you watch too much news, and you take it too seriously, and if you take it to bed with you, chances are the peace is going out the window. Because you're going to start believing, don't ask me how I know this, you're going to start believing that those men and women on that TV show, whatever channel you're watching, have got the ultimate truth. There's only one ultimate truth. God said He would never leave us and He'd never forsake us. The people of the church in particular, I'm going to talk about the world a little bit later, but the people of the church in particular, we need to have that peace. Now, we're not going to start the midweek Bible study soon. I'm not going to teach peace 101, 102, 103. I'm not going to do that. We're not going to have a special series, 10-week course on peace. But, in the old days, when God chose to speak through the prophets, He looked at the one prophet who wrote it down and says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed upon me. See, that's what caused the apostle Paul to call Jesus the apostle of peace, called the great God of peace. There's something about focusing your cognitive energies, your thought processes, your worries, your thing. There's something about bringing that to the cross of Jesus. There's something about bringing that in truth, saying, God, I'm scared to death about this thing. This is bothering me. I don't know how to pay this. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. Hallelujah. Religion will tell us not to do things like that. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon Him. If your care is what you're going to do for a living for the next year, if your care is how you're going to make the house payment or car payment, God wants to hear about that. But here's the thing. Brother Bob, I'm going to pick on you just for a minute because you're a senior member here. The Bible says, go ye to the widow of the hoary head. That means gray hair or white hair. It comes. Don't worry, I'm getting close to the just for men thing. I'm thinking about it. I'm the only guy in here I know who shaved my beard because it was more gray than anything else. Anyway. See, the problem is when you just speak like this, you lose track of what you were about to say. Hallelujah. It'll come back to me. It was a good one. It was a good one. Hallelujah. Whether you're in good times, bad times, mediocre times, there's always going to be something. Something that you can worry about. My thought came back. You can, and it's not a bad thing to go to your brothers and sisters in the Lord and ask for some advice. And I could ask Brother Bill here, or I could ask Ron, or I could ask any for advice, and you may placate me, and you may say, well, I'm sorry to hear, but I'll pray for you, brother. Bottom line is, ain't none of you in here can fix my problem. I'm not being insulting, but I want you to think about that. I need you, but that's not the role that I need you in. Hallelujah. There's only one that I can go to who has the right answer for that situation every time. Hallelujah. And he's not Methodist, he's not Baptist, he's not Pentecostal. He's God Almighty and his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're called to bring that stuff to Jesus and leave it there. Someone should write a song like that, Brother Jeff. Oh, that's right, they have. Leave it there. Leave it there. Bring your burdens to the cross and leave it there. I bless you by not singing it. Hallelujah. If we can leave it there, then there's a possibility the next person you meet can look at you with that stupid smile on your face and wonder what's wrong with you. You are either stoned, mentally ill, or born again. See, I've been all the three. Trust me, born again is better than any of the rest. Hallelujah. We need to have a belief, a faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and His Father God that'll circumvent, that'll bring us around, that'll bring us through the hardships that we are facing, and I think we'll face even more and more as time goes on. Amen? Jesus said, I give you peace. Peace to stand in sicknesses. Peace to stand in financial difficulties. Peace to stand in world disorder. People are worrying about the one world order, and I know it's coming, but I'm very worried about the world disorder right now. Everything that we know is coming apart at the seams. But if I lay awake at night and think about that, if I spend my time during the day thinking about that, I'm not going to have any joy. I'm not going to have any peace whatsoever. And yet God wants me to have peace. Jesus gifted me with it. Someone say amen. We need to have that peace with God. We need to have that oneness, that relationship with God. I mentioned a moment ago, I need God in that role, but I need you too. We need one another. Matter of fact, if you turn with me to the book of John, this time I'm going to read out the New King James Version, verses 34 and 35. You'll recognize this. I didn't take the time to put it on the overheads. I had one of those things. I argued with God to 9:30 last night. He said, don't write it down. Okay. Hallelujah. God, you know you're talking to a teacher here now, right? I put these things on the paper, and mine all makes sense. Okay, you got to look up this word. You got to check that out. Ooh. Some of y'all have a hard time, but y'all see the problems God has with me. John 13, 34 through 35, New King James Version says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I'm kind of convinced here that the whole peace thing, this is another part of it. Don't raise your hands when I say this. Don't identify yourself. Hallelujah. There are some of us in Christendom that would say, I have no problem with God. It's just his people I can't stand. I'm not even looking at anybody. I hear the giggling. I hear the laughing. You know, forgive me if I don't mean to be irreverent when I say this. But, you know, I think sometimes it's easier to have a good conversation with someone I cannot see, who's up in heaven when I don't know where that is, who's not right, than it is to talk with my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. But can we really have peace with God? I'm posing a question. Can we have peace with God and yet not have peace with our fellow Christian? Jesus could have said a lot of things, but he chose his words. Remember the part where he said, I don't say anything I haven't heard my Father say? Don't do anything I haven't seen my Father do? When I look at this Bible, I keep that in mind. Jesus didn't talk just to fill the pages. There's 753,000 some odd words in that King James Bible. If you don't believe me, spend the afternoon counting them. If you come back and tell me there's 752,999, I will believe you. Hallelujah. But I'm going to ask you if you actually counted them. Jesus didn't need to fill paper. Matter of fact, there were no Bibles in his day. Hallelujah. He could have said a lot of things, but he says you need to have love one for another. There's a lot of ways you can identify people. When I go to an airport and I see all these bald-headed guys with orange things on, it don't take me long to figure out who they are. When someone comes to my door, they won't come to my door anymore. Can't figure that out. When someone comes to my door with a white shirt and black tie on and got that little satchel and want to sell me something, don't take me long to figure out who they are. But Jesus didn't say, they'll know they are my disciples because of your orange tunic. They'll know you my disciples because of your black skinny tie. He said, the people will know you're part of my family. You're part of my church. You're part of my flock because you love one another. And not just a love like an erotic type love. He said, you're going to love the way I love you. Whoa, that's a whoa moment. Hallelujah. That's in between generations. My generation said, whoa. We just go, whoa. Younger kids got something else to say. Won't go there. But it's one of those moments you go, wait a minute. I can't get by with that selfish kind of love. I don't know. Did Jesus love us selfishly? He said, the way I loved you, you need to love one another. What's that got to do with peace? Oh, quite a bit. There are so many churches, this has been one of them from time to time, it's sort of one right now, where people can't get along with each other. Families that won't speak to each other. Families won't come to church in different churches in this town, including this one, because other members of their family are sitting there. Now, I understand family difficulties. I do a lot of family counseling during the week. I understand family difficulties, but if you cannot, with all the powers of heaven on your side, with all the anointing and glory of God within you, if you can't find a way to rectify a situation with your own son or daughter or aunt, if you can't rectify that enough to even come to the house of God together, what do we have to offer the world that's looking at us? The world shall know that you are my disciples by the way you bicker, fight, and backstab. That could have been what he said. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just trying to be realistic. Hallelujah. The next scripture gets harder yet. Love God. Get the peace. Love your fellow Christian. I don't know about that, Lord. I don't know about that. I don't know. I talked to a man yesterday. Known this man for 20-some-odd years, and I just can't help it. It's the way I am. I can't help but bring up Pentecost. I'm Pentecostal. And he looked at me and said, I don't so much believe in that. I don't care if you believe it or not, brother. And I really don't care. I love the brother. But I'm not going to hide my relationship with Jesus, my unique relationship with Jesus, because he may be offended. But you know what? Well, I walked out of his place of business, best of friends. Same way I walked in. Amen. We don't have to be exclusionary. We don't have to bite and devour and fight. Whatever happened to, what's that word? An F word. Uh-oh. Oh, forgive. Scared you for a moment, didn't I? Whatever happened to forgiving? I heard this thing on the radio. I don't know why I listen to this one station. Guy just irritates me. But he was talking about this whole idea of forgive and forget. And as much as this man irritates me, I think he actually had it right. The whole...
If you forgive somebody, you're supposed to forget.
I'm trained in two sciences. And both sciences agree that you just don't forget things. The only way you forget something is by trauma. That's one science. Or by asking God to give you a gift called forgetfulness. Now, you can laugh at that. I had an experience a few years ago. I was at a training seminar. And in this training seminar, we don't do much here, but it was a form of prayer counseling. And there would be myself, I was a trainee, a trainer, and an overseer in a room with somebody. And this person was that we were ministering to was encouraged to share their deepest, darkest, whatever, so we could pray with them. Harsh, difficult situation there. We went through this whole thing, and the power of the Holy Ghost was great. I mean, this person got saved, healed, delivered. It was just a wonderful thing. At the very end, our trainer says, now, I want you to pray and ask God to help you forget everything you've just done. Well, my one side of my scientific training says that that's impossible. But I prayed, you know what? Forgot everything that happened in that room. If God wants you to forget something, He can give you that gift. But if you don't ask for that, and for whatever reason God doesn't give you that gift, you're going to remember something. But we're not supposed to remember something for the sake of keeping the wounds fresh, keeping the hurt. Pastor Glenn had a sermon he preached. I heard about it, and it was just a great thing. Talked about the man who cut off the ear, the servant's ear. And he brought in the modern days, as you go into a house, and on the mantelpiece there's a glass case. And in that glass case, there's an ear. And you ask the person, "What's that ear?" "Oh, that was a hard time in life when somebody came against me, and I just cut that ear right off." "So, oh, what was her name?" I don't remember. "Oh, well, what did they do to you?" "Well, they don't remember that. But that ear is still there to remind me." See, sometimes the things that are such a big problem in our lives, they're already under the blood of Christ. They've already been taken care of. And if they're not, they will be the moment you surrender them to Him. Hallelujah. Love one another. What does the church represent? What should it be modeling? When people come into any church, a little one like this, a big one down the road, what should they feel? Love. Not a put on at Sunday mornings, "Well, I got to get along with Dave Tyler. I don't like him during the week, but it's Sunday." "Say, hi, Dave. How you doing, brother?" People need to feel and experience a genuine love. We're still talking peace. I don't know how anybody, maybe it's just my psychological makeup, I don't know. I can't be at peace with myself if I'm arguing with the brothers all the time. If I'm arguing with the sisters all the time. I had someone in my last church give me a hard time because of those terminologies. When I came to that church, it was just first name basis and everybody. I came from a church, as bad as it got, we started off with a sense of family. And that's where I learned to call everyone brother or sister. Not because it was just a religious epithet, but that's my brother. We share. Do you understand that all of us are half children in the Lord? We all have different mothers, but the same daddy. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to have that. I cannot have the peace of God if I'm not hanging out with Jesus, if I'm not right with Him. And I can't have peace if I'm hanging out with you and not liking you. Hallelujah. You can think about that while you turn to John chapter 10. I doubt if anybody has this translation with them. I'm going to read from a translation called The Message. John 10, verses 14 through 18. We got to have peace with God. Got to have peace with our fellow man. You follow me so far? Hallelujah. This is a little preaching trick that I don't use often. I started with my bottom line. I'm working backwards. Some of you who've sat under me a while or do some preaching of your own, you'll recognize that style. Telling that for those who are listening on the internet and still trying to be preachers, work at it. Don't give up. John 10, 14 through 18, reading from the Message, says, "I am the good shepherd." They all said amen. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and my own sheep know me." That sounds like something I was talking about and Jesus talked about in John 20 and 21. Can't have peace with somebody if you don't know them. This "no," I will flip into my teaching mode for a second. The word "no" is not talking about cognitive recognition. Not talking about a brain thing. The word "no," all you people hang on, you're adults here, is the same word that was used in the Bible and says where Adam knew Eve. Abraham knew Sarah. Mary knew not Joseph. You follow me so far, do I have to spell it out? Is it intimate joining? The two shall become one flesh. Okay? The word "no" has a connotation of two pieces being welded together. Unbreakable bond. Okay? I know my sheep. Jesus says, "I know who's mine." He says, "I'm having a relationship." Now, don't get nasty here, but I'm having a relationship, an unbreakable relationship with my sheep. God wants that kind of... God does not want to say, "Hey, came to visit you Sunday morning, I'm going back in the world on Monday." God wants an everyday, ongoing, work at it as you can, be serious about it type relationship. Now, I know, you know, there's some of us have been married for a long time. Some hoping to be married for a long time. Hallelujah. Hey, I had my problems. You may have yours. But, you know, when we come together, we want to stay together, basically. And if you haven't figured this out yet, men in particular, you're going to have to work at it. Sorry, guys. You can ask me later how I figured this out. Hallelujah. I ain't smart, just experienced. You got to work on relationships. It's not always easy to talk about things. It's not always easy to discuss things. Especially, hey, guys, when's the last time you say, oh, honey, I'm having this weakness. Can you help me with my weakness? And that don't happen often. It's hard. As men, we're supposed to be tough and fix it and whatever our generation taught us. Hallelujah. I remember seeing my daddy cry exactly one time in his entire life. That was a hard act to follow. Praise the Lord. In the same way, the Father knows me and I know the Father. Close relationship. I put the sheep before myself, sacrificing myself if necessary. This is Jesus. This is what the shepherd does for his sheep. But there's something in here for us. You need to know. You ever hear the expression, it's on a need-to-know basis? You need to know that I have other sheep in addition to those in this pen. And I need to gather and bring them also. Then he goes on to say, they'll also recognize my voice and will be one flock with one shepherd. And he went on to say, I lay down my life freely. He said, I have the authority to do it. No one killed me. No one took it away. If we want the peace of God, first thing we say is, hey, we have to have a relationship with God. If we want to remain in peace, we need to have a good relationship with other Christians. But now here's a third category. There's people outside the churches who are what one man calls not yet saved people. Hallelujah. We are meant to have, now I'm not talking about doing what they do, but I'm talking about having a good relationship with people on the job, people in our not yet saved family. Hallelujah. We had a wonderful time Friday night. We drove down to Mamaroneck. If you don't know where that is, that's a long ways from here. Not really. A couple hours if you're motivated. 3 hours if you're not. Not saying a word. Hallelujah. My GPS said I could be there by 7, and I said I'll be there before that. Hallelujah. But you know, we're with folks who don't necessarily serve the Lord. There is no drinking their wine and doing their stuff. You know what? No one asked us to be involved in that part of their life. But we were part of the rest of their lives. The grandchildren that we share, the friendships of the people next door. We were able to maintain our love of God and still be able to love our fellow man. We didn't have to get all standoffish. I wasn't worried that some wine demon was going to jump off on me. Y'all laugh at that, but I tell you, some people are like, I can't do that. It might get me. Well, that can get you. You better get a hold of Jesus and hang on real tight because there's something wrong because Jesus is a whole lot stronger than things around us. And I'm not talking about living the life. I'm talking about accepting, loving, and sharing the heart of Jesus with the people we work with. The people we hang with, the people we you know, that may not be that. We're talking about my son, obviously. He lives way down there. We don't hang that much. And I probably don't want his lifestyle. I know I don't want his lifestyle. But I'm not afraid of him turning me into an atheist. There's nothing you can say. I've been doing this a long time. I'm going to warn you right now. Take it as a challenge if you want to. There's nothing you can say or try to prove to me from some book or experience that tells me that Jesus Christ is not the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You cannot. Better people have tried it. You cannot convince me there's more than one way to God. I happen to believe, because it's the truth that Jesus said, that there's only one way to the Father, and that's through me, and all I can say to that is, amen. Hallelujah. But if you want to talk about your Taoism, if you want to talk about that, fine, but that's just an open door for me to talk about Jesus. We need to be able to have a peace. The same peace that we have when we're in our presence of God, maybe in the church or at prayer. We should be able to bring that into the workplace with us. Does anybody here work with just Christian people? Some people do. I don't think there's anybody in this room that does. So, by the nodding of the head, that means to me there's at least a few folks out there who don't yet know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's people out there, Sister Marilee, that we're praying and saying, God, send somebody! And God's saying, I already did. Y'all got to think about that. I was told by a friend of mine, you got to work with me when I preach it. Who did he send? You're there. God sent you there in that back room of that restaurant washing dishes so you can tell the cook about Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm sure when you pull that big rig of yours into those little bitty spaces, I still don't know how you do that. I tried it once and I still remember the laughter. I almost wore a new path in that district, and that was just in the yard. Hallelujah. And I didn't know that my boss and all the secretaries looking out the window going, oh, look at that fool out there. Obviously, I'm not called to drive big rigs. Hallelujah. But we need to be able on our jobs where we're driving big rigs. And I know when you pull into those places, not everyone on that dock is saved. It's pretty easy to figure out who is, but there's somebody out there who needs to know about Jesus. You work in a nursing home. I know there are people. My natural mind says you're getting pretty close to the end and you get to a nursing home. Do they know Jesus yet? God send somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Wherever it is you go, wherever it is you shop, wherever it is you get gas, you know, don't raise your hand. How many go by the park in the summertime? Look at them blankety-blank kids out there. Them blankety-blank kids probably need Jesus. I say probably because maybe some of them are saved. I don't know. But we can let our irritations and our lack of love for a certain type of people. It could be a race bias. It could be a gender bias. It can be an educational bias. It can be all kinds of biases. I bump into people who won't talk to you unless you got degrees behind your name. My God, you have more degrees than a thermometer, still be dumb. Hallelujah. The only degree I really want, I'm still working on getting that one, is the PhD, you know, the power over hell and damnation. Kikaraba. Hallelujah. I'm going to end where I started. Peace be unto you. I'm not sure what's coming down the pike. I'm not sure what's going to be happening. But I got a pretty strong feeling most of us won't like it. I think our financial situation will probably get much worse before it gets any better. I think the unemployment situation is far from fixed. And I'm not talking politics now. I'm just talking about the way it is. Many men and women of God have made this observation, using an old expression, that the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Leonard Ravenhill put it this way. Every revival in history, I'm sorry, it was Bert Clendenin. Every revival in history has come on the heels of a moral midnight. When I was talking to Brother John, our overseer, at the beginning of the week, we were kicking this around, and he's almost in tears, his brother. We so desperately need revival. Those of us who know God need to walk in the peace of God. Those of us who know God need to get along with one another. And we need to have a heart for those who don't yet know Him. If we want peace, the peace that will survive economic downturns, peace that survives high rates of unemployment, peace that survives personal trauma and bad experiences. The only way we're going to find it. There's an old song going through my mind. I'll bless you and not sing it. But it says, put your hand in the hand of the man who stilled the water. Old song. Back from my youth. Old song. But I would suggest that the old song is good for today. That perhaps what we need to do is what God told the prophet. To those whose mind is stayed upon the Lord, I will keep him in perfect peace. Hallelujah. I gave someone advice recently. They came back and I said, it seems to be working. I have a CD. If you want one, I'll get some of these made. It's just scripture set to music. And when I'm going down the road, when I'm not listening to my friend who's getting me angry as the DJ, I find myself reaching up and going from AM, FM to CD. So I have it in my car all the time. And as I begin to hear the Word of God come over me, as I begin to repeat it back, this woman or man, depending who's doing it, they'll repeat a scripture and I find myself saying it aloud. And I find myself, by the time I get to my destination, I'm feeling a little bit better. And when I get to my next destination, I travel from place to place to place. I keep finding myself getting stronger and stronger and stronger. But there's days when I don't push the button. And the next destination I get to, I'm in a bad mood. Next destination, I'm in a worse mood. I come home and I'm worried, I'm aggravated, and it keeps me awake at night until I'm smart enough to realize, oh, that's not a V8 thing. Oh, I could have had a scripture. That's what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. I really hate that word, that's what I'm talking about. But there is a commercial on TV of a woman putting on a wedding dress. And she clenches her teeth. I love that. That's what I'm talking about. I'm saying, man, we need that in Christianity. Not the wedding dress, but the determination. You can have a V8 if you want. I'd rather have a verse 8 or a chapter 8. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. As we hang out with Jesus, that peace of God that comes into play, that peace of God that comes, can or should and will come upon us in hard times, can be ours. Is it possible, Pastor, to live in perfect peace? Yes. Do I do it all the time? Please don't ask me that question. But I'm working on it. My wife's laughing. I can't lie in front of her. If I was prone to lying, God knows I cannot be. I live with this woman. We had an overseer, Brother Dan from Williamsport. First time he did this, he made me mad. I mean, his level of slapability went up in my eyes real quick. He walked in. He walked right past me. And he looks at my wife and says, how's the man of God doing? Well, then it dawned on me. Nobody's going to give her a better answer than her. She knows how I'm doing. I can lie to myself. And none of us men do that, I realize. I can delude myself. A friend of mine once says that man has an amazing capacity for self-deception. I don't want to be self-deceived, but I want to be God-inspired. God-inspired to have that peace. God-inspired to love my fellow Christian. God-inspired to reach out to my fellow man. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. I'm going to shut it off now before I start making up stuff. I've had people ask me, you mean God tells you to tell all this funny stuff? No, that's just me. You got to understand, because I'm all that God's got to work with right here now. And he flows through me and in my style and my silliness. Hallelujah. I take the things of God extremely seriously, and I'm working hard at not taking myself so seriously. Is it possible, as we talked last week, to relax and let God finish his work? Yes. Is it possible to allow the peace of God, a peace that we know nothing about, a peace that when Libya is at war, when Iran is close to getting a bomb, when all this stuff is going, can we have peace? Yes. Biblical peace. Peace within our hearts. Peace in ourselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I know you've wasted no words in this wonderful word, this Bible you've given us. So when you choose to give the words to the apostle, to call your son the Prince of Peace, when you chose the angels to sing the song, Peace on Earth, Goodwill to Men. When you promise a peace that has no root in common sense, it defies common sense. beyond understanding. God, you've made a point, and I want to call you on that point today. No matter what I've been doing, no matter what we've been doing, I want to have that peace. Hallelujah. Father, some of us have had and left it. Some of us had and let it go sour. We've allowed the things of this world to redefine our peace. Father, forgive us today. May we come back to you. Just like that little baby who came here and grabbed me around the neck. Just looking to be held and loved. And I want to be like that child. I want to be that little child that runs up with my hands held high saying, Abba, Father, Daddy. I want to have the type of faith that knows my God to supply all of my needs through His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God, I want to know that you are my Jehovah Jireh. You see what I'm going through. And you have the answer for it already prepared. Hallelujah. I want you to be my Jehovah Rapha. I want you to be all the things, all the names. I want you to be my warrior. I want you to be my savior. All the things I need in order to have perfect peace. I want it. Father, help me not resist you. Help me to cooperate where I can. Help me to go through this process that is changing me into a man of faith, changing us into men and women of faith. May the world know us because of our love towards one another. May the world know us as we reach out towards them, as we love the unlikable. Help us to remember that wasn't all that long ago, not many people liked us either. Let us rejoice in what you've done in our lives. Let us expect perfection in the lives of the people around us and rejoice in that. Let our faith be risen, increased as we look at our community and see all the bad, knowing that it takes a lot of good to overcome that. And we hang on to the promise that you will bring good to this world. You will bring good to those who ask for it. You will bring good to those who repent. You will bring all the goodness of Christ to those who humble themselves and ask. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray that this summer will be a summer of joy for us. Not in a historical sense, but the summer of joy being the time of jubilee. Knowing that we're forgiving, knowing that you're present, knowing that you're working in our lives. Let us enjoy our salvation, Lord. Let us enjoy our presence, your presence in our lives. Hallelujah. Father, let us just throw up our hands and dance and shout or whatever we normally do based on our own personalities. Lord, that we would just enjoy you. And in that, I am convinced by your scriptures, we will have the peace of God. Can we just raise our hands and say thank you to Jesus? Can we just say thank you to Jesus for peace? A promise of peace. I got to tell you something. I've heard of a lot of peace plans from my childhood to the day. They've all broken down. I've heard a lot of people trying to work for peace in Israel. It keeps falling down. In the Middle East, it keeps falling down. But there is a peace that's promised to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. That no matter what's happening around us, we can hang on, having faith in Him, knowing that somehow, which we may not and probably don't understand, it'll all work out. It'll all work out. Father, we lift up all of our worries, or concerns, heartaches, and tribulations to you. We ask, Father God, that you would not let us experience a sense of abandonment, but we would know. When we stop and we just know, God has not left us. No matter what the circumstances is, no matter what our friends and family say, God has not left us. We can have the peace and joy of God in Jesus' name. Can we stand to our feet?